We're in Exodus chapter 15 today. Can you believe we've been 7 weeks in Exodus?
And honestly, I know this sounds like preacher talk, but I've heard so many people say that they've really enjoyed walking through Exodus seeing the big picture of it. And so we love that. In fact, in a couple weeks, we're actually going to walk through the life of David from 1 and 2 Samuel. Yeah. So if you like sort of tracking along, go ahead and get a head start and look up David.
That's going to be so
Samuel
much fun.
15, and that's going to be great.
Yeah. Just a quick poll here, totally unscientific, I suppose, but have y'all enjoyed this more, I guess you put it more exegetical, like verse by verse, story by story. Have y'all been enjoying that? You like that? Okay, cool. Thanks. I just thought I'd take a little poll here. How many would just Chuck, you'd hush up? Okay, thank you for those. I got one kid back there, so it's like, man, yeah, Chuck, shut up. You're killing me.
By show of hands, how many of y'all appreciated Pastor Chuck's moves this morning, that dance move, huh? Can you, yeah.
I would just say to you, I busted it out at 9:30. I was more reserved for y'all because this group sends me more emails. So I thought I'm gonna hold back a little bit on this one. Plus, Bobby videoed me at 9:30 and sent it to me by text and to the staff. And when I saw it, I thought, that's not good. Yeah, that's not good. Don't ever do that again.
All right, I'll try not to.
Yeah.
But hey, we're so glad you're here. If you are new, if this is your first weekend, we'll catch you up along the way. But we are wrapping up our time in Exodus. And honestly, the whole time, our tagline has been this journey towards freedom.
Right.
I don't know if you realize freedom is actually a journey. I think sometimes we want it to be immediate. We want there just to be the snap and we're done. But every time we've said that in groups like this or in small circles, and we talk about it actually it's a process or a journey, people nod their heads because I think we've all experienced that actually there are seasons where we feel like freedom is coming and there's seasons where we feel like we're stuck. And so what we want to say today is one, everybody's on the journey at some level, right? Everybody's on the journey at some level, whether willing or unwilling, we're all on this journey. Two, sometimes we stagnate along the journey. Mm. Sometimes we stall out. Sometimes we make progress, and then we just get stuck where we are. Mm. But the third truth is we believe that God wants to meet you everywhere you are and help you move forward.
Absolutely.
Not stay stuck, not stay where you are. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Exodus 15. We're going to use the Song of Moses and the Song of Miriam, sort of this celebration moment in their lives to demonstrate the process that God brings us through. If it's not overnight, if it's not immediate, if it's not just with a snap, what does that process look like? So we're going to give you some mile markers, if you will, along the way, and then ask you simply this question, where are you in the process, and are you ready to move forward?
Yeah.
Are you ready to move forward?
You know, just kind of to put an umbrella on that before you jump off in the text, I would just say, prepare yourself as you read through this text to kind of look at it through this context, and that is that freedom is not unlike forgiveness. And in a minute, we'll see that forgiveness is a part of experiencing freedom. But neither of which happen often. I mean, they happen very rarely in a moment. Mm. I mean, very rarely do we forgive somebody like that.
Yeah.
I mean, typically we learn to forgive over a period of time. Freedom is like that. We rarely experience freedom, whether it's internally or externally with immediacy. We tend to experience that over the course of time. And this, what's helpful for me, Bobby, is that I get to see this in the many lives that we counsel and serve.
Yeah.
But I experienced my own life because this is not a linear checklist where I do this and I'm good for life. This is something that's continually cyclical in my life that I have to keep experiencing because we serve oftentimes a not yet God.
Yeah.
Like sometimes the mountain is in front of you and it's there for a rhyme and a reason. And rather than trying to pray it away, sometimes we need to pray for enough trust and faith to climb it, right? Because this is some of what God does. This is why his ways are higher than ours. This is why his will, we need to conform to it because in discovering that in the difficult days in life, that's when we know when it's good, we know why it's so good. Mm. So I want to encourage you that in this journey, recognize that we never stand on this timeline at the same place.
Right.
Matter of fact, families don't, couples don't, people do. And so just keep that umbrella as we jump into the text and see how this song of Moses, the song of Miriam, and the whole thing of the people of Israel, they are just like us.
Yeah.
We are them.
That's so true. So let's talk about, here it is, Exodus 15, verse 1. So if you don't regularly read your Bible and you wonder, is God a strong God or not? Check out verse 1. It says, then Moses and the people of Israel, they sang this song to the Lord. So what did they sing? Did they sing like some happy little nursery rhyme? No, here's how it starts. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. Now that's some kind of song. Are you tracking with me? So what they're doing is they're actually mile marking. They're actually putting a line in the sand to say, we were in slavery.
Yeah.
All right. We were in bondage. Pharaoh was cruel to us. And now we're free.
Mm.
There came a moment where they had left Pharaoh. They're on the way to the promised land. But the problem is there's this giant Red Sea between them and where they're going. That's where Pastor Chuck's not yet kind of thing is great, because they can see it, right? They know where they're going, but there comes a moment where they have the Red Sea on one side, they've got the army of Pharaoh on the other side, and they realize we can't fix this ourselves. So stage number one is what we'd call the stage of rescue, or another way of thinking about it is the stage of salvation.
Right.
That in all of our lives, we're on this journey, and all of our lives, we're moving, and there comes a moment, sometimes it happens when we're young, sometimes it happens when we're older, sometimes it happens multiple times in our lives, where we find ourselves in some squeeze between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army,
right.
And there comes a moment where we realize, I can't fix it myself, I can't do it myself, right. I need Jesus to do what only he could do. That stage, that's where we start in this journey. The stage of salvation, or the stage of rescuing. Every single one of us, young and old, every single one of us need to be rescued.
Yeah.
And I know you've told a bit of your story before, but what was that moment like for you when you
realized? I mean, two quick stories. I'm on the front row at a crusade in a huge tent in Warwick, Rhode Island.
Okay.
And this massive football player for the Cleveland Browns is sharing his story about his rescue, about his salvation story. And he's saying, you know, it's this simple. Do you believe Jesus died for you? He was buried for you. He rose from the dead for you. Because of that, you can ask him to forgive you of every bad attitude, every bad action, every sin in your life. And you can have heaven, and you can have his joy in your life now. And all you've got to do is believe that and proclaim that and call on the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you, Bobby, I sat there as a little boy, all just enamored, just thinking, I want to play pro ball someday and all this kind of stuff. And I'm seeing this big man's man brag about Jesus. I thought, I'm in, you know. And he said, then pray with me. And I did. I mean, I sat there and I prayed out loud, Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? Would you come live in my life? Would you take over and be the boss of my life? I believe you died for me. You rose from the dead for me. And because of that, I want to turn my life around. And I'm telling you, y'all, I didn't see stars. I didn't hear angels. It wasn't anything like that. It was just like I knew I meant business with Jesus, and I knew Jesus meant business with me. But the second quick story is more recent. I'm sitting in my office a couple of weeks ago, and I got a young 21-year-old lady in the office with me and Beth. And I've telling her this story. And I said, do you want to settle that in your life today? And she just looked at me and said, yeah. You know? And of course, every time that happens, I still have the same reaction. It's like, really? You know? It's like, how cool.
Yeah.
Like, God is still doing this. And this little girl said that same prayer with me in my office. And it's like, she's all in on Jesus. Like, yeah, I want that.
Yeah.
And I look at this and I think all of us come to the stage.
Yeah.
We come to the stage where, okay, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to help me. What do? I turn to Christ. He is always there. He is always available. He is always wanting to help, and he's always for you, no matter where you're at in your life. You say, well, Chuck, I'm a drunk. And he's with you. He's for you. Chuck, I'm an addict. He's with you. He's for you. Chuck, I got so much sin in my life, but yet right there he meets you. He, at no point is Jesus saying, get all your junk together, then come to me. You know, he says, bring all your junk with me because I know you got it anyway. But come to the point of refuge, right? Come to this point of forgiveness. Come to this point of salvation.
That's right.
Right? Which moves us kind of to the second one, the stage of release.
Yeah.
I find this so powerful because the text says, I don't know how to describe it, Bobby, but there's something about the people of Israel moving away from the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible says, just look at verse 22. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. Now, when I read that, on the one hand, I think, man, if I went 3 days without water, I'd be wanting water too in the desert.
Yeah.
On the other hand, just 3 days ago, they watched God's part the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. So here's where we become like them. You might be saying today, you know, I've never had a Red Sea moment in my life. And I would argue, oh, yeah, you have. You've had probably dozens, maybe hundreds of them. You just didn't recognize them for what they were.
That's right.
Like sometimes in my life, God parts like, you know, a creek bed. Sometimes in my life, God parts a river. Sometimes, you know, God parts a lake. Sometimes God parts a sea. But God is still in the water parting business for your life. You just got to believe him for that. And then you've got to see it for what it is. And that's where this happens. So it says that Moses led them away. And after seeing everything happen, now they've got this stage of forgiveness in their life.
Yeah.
But what did they do? I mean, listen to this. They traveled and they'd gone without water. And there's like, oh, you know, I mean, they're whiners again. Mm-hmm. 3 days after God delivers them, they're whining again. Tell me that's not us. Mm. It's like, God, yeah, everything was great. And now I've lost it all. Oh, you know. So where is God in this?
Yeah.
And so the stage of release becomes a stage of forgiveness where we have to let go of offenses. And we have to let go of wounds.
That's right.
And this is where forgiveness and freedom are very much alike because it's a season.
Yeah.
And by the way, freedom and forgiveness have a lot of things in common. One of them is they begin internally.
That's right.
We don't experience freedom externally until such time as you find freedom internally. We don't really exercise forgiveness externally until we have dealt with freedom or forgiveness internally. But God brings us into a season at times where all of the stuff, I mean, you mentioned in the last service, but there's still triggers in your life that will just hit, and it's like, man, I got to go through this again.
Totally. What's interesting is they could have camped out at the Red Sea. They could have been like, hey, God, you parted it. We're going to hang out.
Yeah.
But at some point, they had to move on.
Yeah.
And I think that's the deal with forgiveness in our life, is that there's going to be trigger moments in our life, and if we're not careful, we'll be that person that holds on to every offense.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll hold on to every grudge. We'll hold on to every bitterness. And we think in doing that, we're proving to the other person how wrong they were, but literally we're killing ourselves in the process.
Yeah.
And so forgiveness, sometimes, again, we think, well, if I just pray one prayer, I'll be done. I'll just pray one prayer and it's over. But what I found, at least experientially in my own life and in the hundreds of people we counsel over the years, is that forgiveness, honestly, I think, is when God begins to bring specific things to the surface.
That is so true.
God brings specific offenses.
Yeah,
God brings some of those trigger moments where something hits me, somebody says something or does something that takes me 20 years back, and it's almost like God's saying, now it's time to deal with it. Not to say that they were right and you're wrong, but to bring healing to your soul. That's when we call it release or forgiveness, to say the captors no longer have a hold over it.
So good. And I want to talk to some of you in this room and some of you online right now specifically. Some of you find it easier to forgive everybody else and to receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers you, but you're struggling with trying to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Because you literally are saying to God, God, I can trust you to forgive me. Mm. I can trust you for heaven. I can trust you for provision. But I can't trust you to allow me to move forward and to forgive me. Mm. And let me just stop and say to you, y'all, I believe the Great Commandment has all three parts. Love God with all you've got. Love other people, but do not forget the last part, as you love yourself. Which means if you don't do the bookend, love God, love yourself as he loves you, you'll never get the middle part right. Mm. Which means being able to move forward with forgiveness of yourself is part of this, so you can trust God with us. Which kind of leads us to the third one, right? The stage of requirement.
Yeah, there comes this moment in their journey where you already alluded to, they're just 3 days away from the Red Sea, and they can't find water. And so it says, then Moses led the people away from the Red Sea. They moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. Verse 23, when they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter. So finally, they're like, okay, we got water. Now they taste it. It's too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter.
And I think some of us have bitter water. Like you turn the faucet on, it comes out brown. It's like, ew.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, don't drink the water. What? I've done that
Yeah.
And I would just say, don't drink the water.
Don't drink
it. You know? But imagine bitter water when you're that thirsty.
Yeah.
They want something fresh. They want something clean. They want something new.
Yeah.
And so there they are, stuck. Mm-hmm. And once again, a whole nother reason to whine. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I have water, but it's not the water I want. So why, you know, again, they're just like us.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, God, I asked for you to deliver me out of that problem, and here I am. Why do I have another problem?
Yeah.
Like, God, I wanted you to fix my marriage, but now you have. How come my kid's just going crazy? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, God, I wanted a new job, but you mean I have to do that to have a new job? I mean, here we are.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing. If you want your tragedy to turn to triumph, this is the stage where you've got to deal with one thing.
Yeah.
And that's trust.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, at some point, we've got to move into this stage of trust, which I think truly is the requirement.
Absolutely. I mean, in this stage, you know you're at the stage. If you're expecting one thing, got another. They're expecting fresh water, they get bitter water. Mm-hmm. You're at the stage where you expected one health diagnosis, you got something else. You got this thing, and you got something else. And the challenge in this stage, when there's something bitter in front of you, is do I trust that the same God that parted the Red Sea is going to show up in my life today?
Right, right.
Because if we're not careful, we become bitter.
Yeah.
If we're not careful, when we don't see God's hands, we begin to doubt his heart. And all of us have
Absolutely,
been there. All of
sure.
us have been in those I've moments where God, where are you? God, what's the deal? God, are you ever going to show up? And what I found in my own life, when I'm in those seasons of God, where are you? What is up with this? The more I ask why,
right.
and the more I ask where, yeah. the more distant he felt.
Yeah. So to make this more granular for all of us, you might be asking yourself, okay, salvation I've dealt with.
Yeah.
Maybe you have it, but today's your day. We've dealt with that. Okay, so with that, okay, I'm working through forgiveness. Awesome. Then what do I do tangibly in my life for trust? So I'm going to offer this thought to you because I have found this personally hugely helpful. I use this app called Glorify all the time, right? I think my streak's like 200 days on this thing. I just totally dig it, right? Mm-hmm. And the other day I was reading this thing in Glorify. I said, what if we were to stop praying for clarity and blessing? And what if we actually started praying for trust to build in our life? Mm. Like instead of asking God to bless your plan for the day, instead of asking God, I need clarity, God. Would you show, like, I want to know, like, give me a GPS coordinate on where to follow your will. Yeah. Like rather than asking for clarity, what if you just ask for greater trust? Mm. Because watch this, this secular movement keeps coming where I begin this circle, well, I've got salvation. I'm dealing with that. I'm forgiveness. Yeah. I'm growing in that. Now I've got to have trust because trust leads me on to this next stage.
Yeah.
Right? Because without trust, my life isn't going to follow the Christ life. And this is when I think we can get really weirded out in the Christian world. Mm-hmm. Where if you watch enough, you know, health and wealth preachers, what you're going to hear is that God always wants you to be happy, wealthy. And let me just say, nowhere in the scripture does it say that. That's just garbage, y'all. I mean, when you hear that stuff, just turn it off. Just turn it off, right? Because here's what we know the scripture teaches us. In this life, it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through junk. I don't care how much you love Jesus, you're going to go through junk. Find every Bible hero in the world, and you know what? They all had to work their way through the mountains in front of them and the mountains being moved. And so will you.
That's right.
The only way you survive that up and down journey is to pray continually for greater trust. Now, here's the kicker. You ready? If you pray for trust, God's going to answer that. And it's going to cause you to take steps, and you made a choice, which leads us to that very next stage.
And this is really the frustrating one. We call it the stage of refusal. You might call it stubborn. It's the stage where they know what they ought to do, but they choose not to do it.
Right.
And that's that phrase in verse 24. It says, then the people complained, and then the people turned against Moses. I'm thinking, really? You've been praying for 400 plus years for deliverance from Egypt. You've been hoping that one day, and now God finally raises up Moses. Moses risks his life for you, and he's leading you out. And now 3 days in, you're already bitter. 3 days in, you're already complaining. It says, what are we going to drink? The way that you know that you're at this stage is when simply you know what God wants you to do, but you're just being stubborn and you won't do it. And I think all of us come through this stage at least once, if not multiple times, is where there's something we sense, right? There's some change, there's some commitment, there's some way that God's asking us to step up. We know it, but we would rather be like the nation of Israel and complain about where we are instead of going forward where God wants us. And the way that you move out of this stage is to do the thing that God asks you to do. I heard Chuck say this last hour. He said, it's okay if you want to fight with God, as long as you know he's always going to win.
That's right.
That's a good word.
Yeah, because but that's true, right? I mean, it took me forever to say yes to being a pastor because I don't like pastors. I mean, it just took me forever. I mean, it was like I knew this is what God wanted me to do when I was 15 years old. You know, and I didn't become a pastor until 12 years ago. And you think, well, Chuck, how did you do that? Well, I'm being pigheaded. That's how. And I look back now and I think, wow, Chuck, look at all the blessing you missed that you threw away and you trashed him because you wouldn't say yes. But here's the thing. You can't live there. You got to move on. And see, when we experience forgiveness that comes through salvation and we begin to pray for trust, what happens is this choosing point becomes so different and so new.
Yeah.
Because now we can live in obedience.
That's right.
Right? Like, I think this is so interesting how God wired us and made us. He made each of you in a way that if you want the rich blessing of God, it comes only through this word obedience. But obedience doesn't happen with trust, and trust doesn't happen without forgiveness. And forgiveness comes through salvation. And you can see this process laying it out. And all I'd say to you in that regard is this: be willing to say yes to the Lord. Because when you do, it is always for his glory, but it will simultaneously be for your good. And so when these things happen, it leads us to this next stage, which is a stage of renewal.
So Moses, you can imagine Moses. I mean, some of you are already have road trips planned for the summer, so I'm praying for you. Some of you are going to be in RVs for 17 days and tight quarters, right? And so you know how
it
is. What
were y'all thinking?
We're going to have a special prayer time after the service for the Fransons. That'd be awesome. But you can imagine Moses' frustration. They're on their way, and now they're like, what are we going to drink? What are we going to drink? And so Moses, in the very next verse, verse 25, cries out to the Lord. It says in verse 25, so Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. So Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink.
Yeah.
And I think that's so amazing. I mean, I think every time in the Old Testament that there's a picture like this, it most often, if not all the time, points to something in the New Testament. So as I'm reading this week, I can't help but to think, for Moses, when life is bitter and he doesn't know what to do, God points to a tree.
Right.
And in the New Testament, when we're bitter and we don't know what to do, and we're like, man, I don't know how to get past my own worst enemy myself. I don't know how to keep moving forward in this process. I think in a similar way, God points to a tree. He points to the cross.
Yeah, amen.
And at the stage of this renewal, what God, I think, is asking us to do is to apply the cross to every area of our lives.
That's the most powerful statement today, the thought that you could take the power of the cross of the Lord Jesus and apply it to your cookout tomorrow, to your conference room Tuesday, your job site Wednesday, the car dealership Thursday, wherever you go. You can literally take up that cross. But what I love, Pastor Bobby, is to think that I can experience the application of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection because I have received what he did on the cross.
Right.
I now have gotten his forgiveness, and I extend it.
Yep.
I can pray and experience what trust is like. Through that, obedience becomes simplistic.
Yep.
Through the obedience, then, what do? I continually come back to the cross. So Moses, God says, take this piece of wood and throw it in the water.
Yep.
So You say, well, Chuck, listen, you don't have to be a preacher to figure this one out. No. You take the cross of the Lord Jesus and you throw it into the bitter water of your life. You take the cross of the Lord Jesus and you throw it into the mess of your life. You take the cross of the Lord Jesus and you cling to it in the problems and the strategies and the weaknesses and the illnesses and all of the times in life where you literally don't know what to do. And you cling to the old rugged cross. And once again, the circle keeps happening.
Yeah.
I run back to the cross and I receive forgiveness. I have greater trust. I can follow Jesus in obedience.
That's
through
right.
that, I get the blessing. And, and then what happens? A problem comes.
Yep.
But I've learned I can always run back to the cross.
Yeah.
And this is the story of what freedom looks like.
That's right. So if you're at the stage, the way that you move past this stage is to quit compartmentalizing your lives. Quit compartmentalizing Sunday from the rest of your week. Take the work of the cross, which leads us to this last stage. And it's what we've called the stage of regulation. So there comes a moment, like sometimes people wonder, well, how do I know how I'm doing spiritually?
Right.
How do I know if I'm growing up?
Right.
Well, I think God gives them a great litmus test or a great measuring stick. Listen to what it says. So Moses cries out to the Lord in verse 25, and the Lord showed him the piece of wood. And then listen to what it says in verse 26. God says, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight. If you obey his commandments, keep all of his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I've sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Look back at verse 26. Here's the two pieces that God gives them. He says, piece number one, regulation number one, if you will listen.
Ouch.
It starts with listening.
Yeah.
I heard somebody saying the other day, he said, you know, I was sitting there in the living room and my wife said, you haven't been listening to anything I've been saying. And he's like, that's an odd way to start a sentence. yeah, we're not so good, right? We're easily distracted. So he says, look, first you've got to listen to God. And then here's what he says, and do what is right.
Mm.
So at this stage, really, it's for us to listen and obey.
Right.
People wonder, well, how do I know how I'm doing? Well, what's the distance between listening and obeying? Is it minutes? Is it weeks? Is it months? For some people, honestly, it's years or even decades where they've heard God speak, but they still haven't done what he said. And the goal is the longer we walk with Christ and the more times we come through the cycle towards freedom, the goal is that distance would begin to shrink so much so that there's very little or no gap between when God speaks and when we obey.
It does beg the question, what are you listening to? Right? If the key here is listen, obey, then the outcome is determined by what you listen to.
Yeah.
And so the question I would have for all of us today is, regardless of where you're at in this journey to freedom, at the end of the day, you've got to determine what is it that comes in. We're just like computers, garbage in, garbage out, right? So if we're looking to obey God, it would make sense that we need to listen to God.
Yeah.
Where do we listen to God? And it's super easy. The Word of God. How do I get that in? Chuck, I don't get it. Buy a New Living Translation. Keep it simple. Don't worry about how much you read. Just get it in you. If you read for 2 minutes, great, get it in you. You want it even simpler? Go to weekdaypodcast.com. Listen to me or Bobby take one piece of scripture and unpack it. In 5 minutes, you can listen to it on the way to work. Right? Keep it that simple. Right? But if you don't get God's word in you, you won't know how to obey God. The second one is just talk to God.
Yeah.
I mean, don't be weird about it. Just talk to God. Right? And then the third one is surround yourself with people that will speak openly about the things of God.
Yeah.
Because when you're with godly people, it's going to rub off on you.
Mm.
Right? So if we want to obey, we got to listen to the right thing.
Yeah.
But then we have an opportunity that it might be fun, Bob, if we took a minute and just had a moment of quietude. We've got just a couple minutes before we leave. But would you do me a favor and just kind of bow your head and close your eyes real quick? Pastor Bobby and I want to ask you a couple of questions, beginning with, what stage are you in? Because like in the 27th verse, you know, Bobby, it says they leave Mara, and they head out, and they find an oasis in Elam. And there, they enjoy 12 wonderful springs and shade of fresh water.
Yeah, so while they're bitter, they're just days away.
That's right.
From brighter future.
So what stage are you in today? Like, are you at the stage where you need to say, Jesus, I'm calling on your name because I need your forgiveness and I need salvation? And if so, Do like I did, like that young lady did in my office. Jesus, I'm calling on your name. Forgive me. I believe you died for me and rose from the dead for me, and I want to turn my life around. I want to live for you. Man, just say that right now in your heart. Or if you can't even remember what I just said, just count me in on what Chuck said. God knows your heart.
Yeah.
Maybe you're in that stage where you need to forgive someone, or you need to receive forgiveness, or maybe you just need to learn how to forgive you.
Mm.
Maybe today you're in that stage where I just need to trust the Lord. Instead of trying to control everything, I just need to trust the Lord. Maybe today, like we've talked about, maybe you're at the day where you got to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to obey what God's telling me to do, or am I going to keep delaying that, which means I'm going to delay the blessing of obedience? Where are you?
Yeah.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10, if right now a 10 is, man, I am walking with Jesus full bore. How awesome is that? Maybe at 1, you're like, man, I'm as far away from Jesus as anybody could be. Maybe you're somewhere in between, but at every point, there he is, ready to bring you back to the cross so that you can experience forgiveness and trust and obedience, and you can flourish in that. Not because you're always going to stay on top of the mountain, but there's more mountains ahead. Be ready in him.
Yeah.
Let him fight that battle. You don't have to. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity for you to bless the reading and the hearing of your own word. Lord, thank you for the privilege of just chatting about the things of Jesus with my friend Bobby, with our church, who we love. Lord, for people today that would say yes to salvation, Lord, I pray they just step out at the end of the service and just say, hey, I'm that guy or I'm that girl to me or Pastor Bobby. Lord, I pray people, if they're searching for where they're at in this journey, they might do something as simple as send a note to prayer@sugarhillchurch.com and just say, man, pray for me. This is where I'm at. That you'd bring our staff team or even other people around them to encourage them. And I pray we'd walk out tomorrow celebrating Memorial Day with freedom on our mind and on our heart. And wherever journey we're in, you would give us the trust and the obedience to enjoy the blessing and the fullness of walking with you. Thank you for being a God who never stopped loving us. Thank you for being a Savior that is always there for us. Give these folks the blessed assurance of Christ the Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Before we go, I want to give you just a quick thought on tomorrow. Go enjoy it. Have fun. For those of you that have to work, man, listen. You get to be in a country. You get to work and earn something instead of being in a place where you have no work. Man, you get to enjoy hot dogs with onions that are grilled on a flat top with jalapenos and pepper jack cheese. One of those potato buns you put a little butter on and slap down on the grill. Man, you get to season those fries up and drag them through spicy ketchup tomorrow. You get to dribble it on your white t-shirt and dig it all. Because we live in the greatest country known to humankind, and men and women died so we could enjoy it. Let us remember their sacrifice. But while we do, let this Jesus go before you and make a way, because that's what he does. Man, I promise you, man, listen. Jesus, he's like a road grader waiting out there to make a way for you. Let him go within you, bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment, because he is always good. And you, my friend, you are always loved. And when the mountain's right dab in front of you, man, let him come behind you and pick you up and carry you. Not around it, but up and through that mountain, so that when you stand on the top, he will put you on your feet victoriously, and he will wipe away your tears and kiss you on the forehead and wrap you up in his loving arms and draw you up to him, so he can say, my child, say it with me, church, I love you. Y'all have fun tomorrow. We love y'all. I love this church. God bless you. Go in peace. Go out there and eat some of that stuff, or I'm going to eat it all week, and that's not good.